Good morning. How's everybody doing? Well, my name is Micah, and man, I'm excited to be here with you guys. I've totally been changed by God's love. That's the summation of my testimony, is that I've been transformed by God's amazing grace. Praise God. I was born and raised in Indiana, and I grew up in a very strong and faithful Mormon home. My parents taught me, and my religion taught me from the time that I was a young child that I had to earn my way into God's good graces. You know, I was never taught that His love and that His forgiveness were given to me freely, but that I had to earn them and work for them, you know, through my faithfulness to this religious institution. I was very zealous for God. I wanted to have a relationship with God, but I thought that my relationship with Him was dependent on my obedience to the commandments and the laws and ordinances of Mormonism. Paul, when he was writing the Romans in Romans chapter 10, he's talking about the Jews, and he says they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And see, I was seeking through my religion to establish my own righteousness before God and show Him that I was worthy and good enough to be saved. When I was 14 years old, my family and I picked up and moved out to Utah, which was a huge culture shock for me. The reason why we moved out there is because my mother got a job as a professor at BYU, if you guys are familiar with BYU. And so we were very entrenched in this culture and this religion, and I just believed that it was the way to eternal life. When I was in high school, I fell in love with a beautiful girl. I used to go to the temple all the time and do all these works, you know, believing that I was establishing my righteousness before God. And basically, life as I knew it was perfect. When I turned 19 years old, it's customary in the Mormon church that after the young men graduate from high school, they go on a two-year mission trip. And so after I graduated from high school, I went on my two-year mission trip. And if you guys are familiar with the Mormon missionaries, or the young men with the white shirts and the ties and the name tags, raise your hand if you guys have seen the missionaries. Don't be shy. And so I went on my two-year Mormon mission trip. You don't get to choose where you go. They can send you anywhere in the world. I had friends that went to Thailand and Chile, and I had two older brothers that went to Moscow, Russia, and Copenhagen, Denmark. And so I was kind of hoping that I would go somewhere exciting and exotic, and I ended up in Orlando, Florida. So maybe if you're from Houston, Orlando is exotic. I don't know. So I got in Orlando as this very zealous 19-year-old Mormon missionary, very passionate about sharing my faith and very convinced that my church, my religious institution, was the only way to eternal life. And so my whole purpose as a Mormon missionary was to go out and to make converts, believing that by doing so, I was bringing people salvation. And I didn't really know what I was getting myself into at the time, because Orlando is a very evangelical, Bible-based area, especially with the Southern Baptist Church. So I didn't really know, you know, what was ahead of me, but I was so convinced that this church, this religious institution, was the way to eternal life that I just hit the ground running. And I remember, you know, talking to people on the streets and knocking on people's doors and talking to people in the Walmart parking lots and just very zealously going about sharing my faith, much like Saul before he became Paul. And so I had been in Florida for a few months, and I had, you know, had some success in converting people to Mormonism, and I got so overzealous in my attempt to convert others that I actually tried to convert a Baptist minister and his entire congregation. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we can realize that the Baptist, more than anyone, needs salvation. And so we showed up at this Baptist church, you know, and this was about 10 years ago, and we introduced ourselves to the head pastor, and his name was Pastor Benson, and we said, "Pastor Benson, we're missionaries from the Mormon church, and we'd like to sit down and share a message about the gospel with you." And Pastor Benson just got this big smile on his face, and he said, "I'd love to sit down and talk with you guys about the gospel." And I remember thinking to myself, you know, I think God has really prepared this man's heart to receive the message of Mormonism. And so I was really, you know, excited about this opportunity to sit down and share my faith with him. And see, our game plan was, if we could convert Pastor Benson, that he would assist us in converting his entire congregation, and then I would be celebrated as the greatest Mormon missionary of all time. That was my plan. And so the next day we met with Pastor Benson. We shared with him, you know, the gospel according to the Mormon Church. And we shared with him all the things that we believed were necessary, you know, in addition to what Jesus did on the cross. And there were ordinances and works and laws and commandments and all these things that were part of this systematic law that we believed we had to follow in order to find good standing with God, and that did not come as a free gift. And so we shared this with Pastor Benson, and we asked him, we said, Pastor, what do you think about our message? What do you think about everything we've shared with you? And his response to us was, he just looked us in the eyes with so much love, and he said, you know, elders, I can see that you're very sincere, and I can see that you're very dedicated to your faith as Mormon missionaries, but I have to tell you that the message that you just shared with me, it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the good news as found in the Word of God. And I remember being so taken back by him saying that. I had never once in my life questioned or doubted the things that I had been taught by my parents and my church leaders. I had never once in my life questioned that something else might be the way to eternal life other than what I had been taught through my religion. And this pastor was basically calling into question everything that I believed and I needed to do in order to be reconciled to God. And so as a 19-year-old Mormon missionary, I sat there and I heard the gospel for the very first time from a Baptist minister. And this gospel that he shared with me was so far removed from anything that I had ever been taught my entire life. And I remember him just emphasizing the sufficiency of Christ's offering on the cross and the blood that he shed to cleanse me of my sin, to make me right with God, that my good standing with God was not through my works, but it was in and through the blood of Jesus Christ, that I could have peace with God by the blood of the cross, and that there was no other way to be made right with God. There is no other way to have justification before the Father than in and through the perfect and eternal sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary. And that my good standing with God was not dependent on my own righteousness, because I could never be righteous. You know, like the word says, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, but are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And this was a righteousness that was manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And I was believing through my religious institution, through my works, that I could somehow establish that righteousness with God outside of trusting completely in what Jesus Christ had done for me. And like it says in Titus 3:4-5, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. And see, that this pastor was trying to teach me about a God who loved me unconditionally, a God who showed his love for me, and that while I was still a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for me. That while I was an enemy to God, that he would reconcile me to him by the death of his son. And that Jesus Christ was the way and the truth and the life and the only way to the Father. Not my religion, not an organization, not a church, not works, not laws, but faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. Because no one is justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And so when he shared this with me and shared with me that salvation was a free gift, like it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one could boast. And being, you know, such a religious Pharisee at the time, I couldn't accept that God's love could be given to me so freely. And I couldn't accept that salvation was as simple as accepting Jesus Christ by faith. And I remember responding to this pastor and saying, well, Pastor, if that's the case, then everybody would be saved. It's too easy. It's too simple. And yet how ironic is that, how so many people overlook the gospel message because of its beautiful simplicity. And so I started to argue with Pastor Benson and basically got to the point where I told him, you know, if he didn't join the Mormon church, that he couldn't be saved. And I just stormed out of his office in complete and total frustration. And as I was leaving, Pastor Benson stopped me and he said, Elder Wilder, I challenge you to go home and to read the Bible as a child. And he said, I promise you that if you do that, that God is going to open your eyes and he's going to show you for the first time in your life what the good news of Jesus Christ really is. And so 10 years ago, as a Mormon missionary, I was given that invitation to open up the Word of God and to read it as a child. And so I eventually gave in to this pastor's challenge and I started to read the Bible as a Mormon missionary, but my original intent wasn't because I thought that I had something to learn. It's because I wanted to prove Pastor Benson wrong. I wanted in arrogance, you know, to open up the Bible and to solidify my faith in this law-based institution that I had been raised in. And so early on in my two-year Mormon mission trip, I sat at my desk and I opened up the New Testament and I started to read. And I had no idea what God was going to do in my life. I thought that I had everything that I would ever need in and through what I had been offered through my religious institution. I had no idea that God could offer me something so much greater. So as a Mormon missionary, I began to read every single day, multiple times a day, until the point where I was just so consumed by the Word of God. And over the course, the remainder of my two-year Mormon mission, which was about another 20 months or so, I actually read the New Testament almost a dozen times. And just to show how consumed I was by the message of God's love for me that I was coming to know in and through the Word of God. You know, it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. And I had never heard the love that Jesus had for me. I never understood the intimate desire he had for me to be made right with him, and that good standing wasn't dependent on my goodness. It wasn't dependent on my works. It wasn't dependent on my righteousness, because if it were, then I would never be in good standing with God. But yet he loved me, and he manifested that love by sending his only son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who would humble himself below all things, humble himself to the point of death on a cross. That being the Son of God, that he could offer himself perfectly, that he would offer a perfect and blameless and eternal sacrifice as the Lamb of God, and that through the blood that he shed, that my sins could be washed away, that he could pay the price, not just part of it, as I always believed in Mormonism, but that he could pay the full price for my sins, that he could wipe away the debt that I owe to God, that he could satisfy the demands of God's law that I could never uphold myself. And that's what I came to realize through reading the Word as a Mormon missionary, was that God loved me more than I could ever understand. This love, like it says in Ephesians, that surpasses all knowledge. And Paul writes about it to the Romans in Romans 8. And he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'm sure that nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I started to realize that God loved me, that that was the message of the Bible, that was the message of the New Testament, that like the Apostle John says in 1 John 4, that God himself is love. And that very love was manifested in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we could live through him. And I came to recognize that, you know, I wasn't a good and righteous person as I always believed. In fact, I was dead, and I was dead in my trespasses and dead in my sins. But the Word says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." And I realized so clearly through the Word of God that it wasn't about what I could do for God. It was about what God had done for me. And accepting that one act of righteousness, that in and through it, that we could have justification in life. And this was a life-transforming experience for me of coming to know and be washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And to recognize that there was nothing that I could do in addition to what Christ had already done for me on the cross of Calvary. And I accepted for the first time in my life by faith, Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior, as my Redeemer, as my substitute, as the only way to eternal life. You know, Jesus says in John 8, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Man, nothing else in my life has ever compared to the freedom that I have found in the grace of Jesus Christ. I started to abide in the Word of God, and I became his disciple, and I came to know the truth, and that truth set me free. And I found freedom in Christ Jesus, and that's not a freedom to sin or to live how I want. It's freedom to know that Jesus Christ has done everything that needed to be done for my eternal life so that I can love him because he first loved me. And so I went through this process while I was a Mormon missionary, which was the most difficult 2 years of my life. But I got to the end of my Mormon mission. I had 3 weeks left, and I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I became a born-again believer. And trust me, I wasn't planning on joining the enemy camp. And so I didn't know what to do, and I said, well, God, what am I supposed to do? And he said, well, I'll present an opportunity, and he did. And 2 days later, after I had my born-again experience, I had this opportunity where I was supposed to stand in front of my missionary leadership and my Mormon missionary peers and share my testimony of what I had learned over the course of my 2-year Mormon mission trip. This was one of those, you know, God, do you have any other answers to the prayer? Because... So I got up there, and thanks be to God, you know, nothing that we do is dependent on our own strength. And that's the reality that I've come to know as a believer, that I can do all things, but I can do them because of Christ strengthening me, not because of my own strength. And so I got up there in this Mormon chapel and stood at the pulpit and had to share my new testimony. But my testimony was no longer in religion. I had been called out of religion and into a saving relationship, intimacy with Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And Joseph, who's sitting down to my left here, he was one of the Mormon missionaries in the audience at the time. So you might be able to figure out what happened to him. So I got up there and shared my testimony, and my testimony was simply that Jesus Christ was all that I needed. That I didn't know all this in-depth Christian theology or whatever. I didn't know what I was supposed to believe, but the one thing that I had learned from reading the New Testament a dozen times during my Mormon mission was that Jesus Christ was enough, that his grace was sufficient for me, that his blood had covered me. And I praise him for that, and I praise him that almost 9 years later that I can stand in front of you guys and tell you that my testimony hasn't changed, that Jesus is all that I need. And so I shared that testimony, and I didn't really know, you know, how what the repercussions were going to be of my public confession of faith. 2 days later, I received a phone call from my Mormon leader, and he said that we needed to sit down and have a chat. And I wasn't laughing at the time, by the way. That was probably the most terrifying moment of my life, was facing the cost of following Jesus as his disciple. And, you know, my mom at the time was a tenured professor at BYU. My dad was a high priest in Mormonism. I had two older brothers that had served their Mormon missions. I was a former student at Brigham Young University. My girlfriend was Mormon, and on and on and on. This was my life. This wasn't just changing the church that I was going to on Sunday. This was everything that I knew and everything that I had built my life on. And I remember sitting at my desk before I had to go into this meeting and face my Mormon leadership, just terrified, you know, of facing this cost and just saying, God, I don't think that I can do this. You know, but Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? And he calls us to take up our cross and to follow him as his disciples, and that we must lose our life so that we could find it and find a new life in and through Jesus Christ. You know, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And I had been transformed by God's love. And I did not want to walk away from everything that God had offered me. And so I said, God, I know that I don't have the strength, but you do. Like the word says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So I sat at my desk, and God, through the Spirit, led me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. And it's Jesus talking to Peter, and he says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. And talking about an amazing promise from God's word at the right time of my life, where I faced the cost of losing all of these things and losing them for the sake of Christ, and just realizing so quickly that it doesn't matter what I lose, because what I am gaining, it far surpasses anything that the world could ever offer. You know, Jesus, when he's talking to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, he says, if you drink of this water, you will be thirsty again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you will never be thirsty forever. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And I came to recognize that Jesus Christ was the satisfaction of everything that my soul had ever desired. That my relationships my friends, my family, my education, my reputation, all the money and wealth in the world can never give me the riches that I came to know through Jesus Christ, that he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to him shall not hunger. Whoever believes in him will never thirst. And so I went into this meeting. I sat with my Mormon mission president, and for 3 hours, he questioned me about my faith, about my testimony. I told him, Jesus Christ is the only thing that I need, that I don't need this religious institution to be saved. The only thing that can justify me before God is my faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that he who knew no sin was made sin for me so that I could become the righteousness of God. And I am righteous not because of my works, but because of Jesus Christ. And I don't need any man or any organization or any prophet to stand in between me and God the Father, because there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who offered himself as a ransom for all, and I was his forever. He told me that I was filled with the spirit of the devil, told me that I was on the path to destruction, threatened to excommunicate me, told me that I was an antichrist, and the worst insult he gave me was he said I sounded like a Baptist. And so I got kicked off my Mormon mission with only 3 weeks to go after faithfully serving the Mormon church my entire life. And I got home, and the first miracle God did is my girlfriend, whom I had fallen in love with in high school, she was at BYU during the course of my 2-year Mormon mission studying, and I shared the gospel with her as I was coming to know it. And God took her on her own journey, and she came to know the Lord, left Mormonism. She's now my wife, and we have 3 kids. And just praise God for that. We had 3 boys in 3 years, and that was enough. And so my family, you know, when I got home, I just said, you know, just read the Bible as a child, you know, and just accept that Jesus Christ is enough, that he is sufficient for every need that you will ever have. And Matt over there at the piano is my older brother, and Katie over here is my sister. So. But hopefully you can figure out what happened to them. So my mom and my dad, they had a lot more at stake in all of this, you know, but God is good. And that seed of the Word of God was planted in their hearts. And there were a lot of people along the way who watered it, but it was God alone in his time and in his will that did the growth. Just like Jesus says, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And God drew them into a relationship with Christ Jesus, just as he did with us. And I just praise God for that. I just thank God for what he's done in our lives. And take no credit and no honor for myself, because even though I wasn't looking for God, he was looking for me. And he found me, and he put me on his shoulders, and he rejoiced. And I thank him so much.